Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoors Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Cap Denny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
The reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the Outdoor Show is Jake. Our sponsors today, the CCA Star Tournament, the Belleville Meat Market, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, weather. Galveston right now, 75 down on the island. Overcast skies today with a stray shower or thunderstorm. High of 77. East-southeast winds will be 15 to 25. That rain chance today is about 20. And then for tonight, the chances pick up. Scattered showers and thunderstorms, low of 62. East-northeast winds 10 to 20. Rain chance tonight is about 70%. And for tomorrow, rain showers early, then remaining overcast and windy. Later in the day, with a high of 69, north-northeast winds will be 20 to 30 miles per hour, and that rain chance about 50%. And looking at tides, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have four of them. We're sitting on a high right now. It was a 1.3. We have a low coming up at 9:33 a.m. It's an 0.7. A high at 3:30 p.m. a 1.2. And a low at 9:43 p.m. an 0.7. 6:47 a.m. is sunrise. Sunset, 7:49 p.m. Moon phase, 84%. Current conditions right now on the Galveston Channel, it's 74 degrees down there with 76-degree water. Eagle Point, 74 with 78-degree water. And Morgan's Point, 75 with 77-degree water. So those water temps have been well above 70 for a while now. And we ought to start getting some trout to start spawning in our bays up and down the coast with those water temps. All right, looking at wind, it's, you know, pretty much south-southwest, 5 to 8, 8 to 10. You know, just about everywhere at all these stations, barometric pressure is steady at 29.99 inches. So it's, they missed that forecast yesterday. What a calm day. I think everybody caught them yesterday. I was sitting on the back porch and even caught a limit. Nice it was. It was a beautiful day. All right, let's run over to Sabine Lake and check in with Captain Bill Watkins this morning and see what he's up to. Good morning, Bill. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm just rolling down the highway, buddy.
I can tell. I can hear you running.
Heading down the road to go fishing. So.
Well, that's good.
Yep, go check out Sabine Lake and see what in the world's going on down there.
Yeah. Well, that'll work.
I haven't been able to go in, about 3 weeks. Taking care of my wife, back surgery. So I've been shut down. But today, today I'm going to go find them. And I think I know exactly where they're going to be. You got lots of fresh water.
Yes, you do.
And you could probably drink the lake at most any location that you wanted to. But that all that does is position fish where you really want them to be. So I'm expecting it to be good. And you just got to go to the right area. Just keep going south till you find them. That's what my thinking is. You know, that's hard to do. If you start out at the top of Trinity Bay and keep going south, you just about run out of gas before you get there.
Yeah, so, you have to run down, turn the corner, and go south some more.
Yeah, that's a huge bay system over there.
It is. It's big. What is it, 600 square miles of water? That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yes.
You ain't kidding. 600 square miles.
Yeah.
That's an amazing deal.
That's a lot of shorelines and a lot of water in between.
Well, you know it. And it can be very dangerous out there.
Yeah, you're getting the wrong weather. I've been there. I've had some...
Anybody in water can be dangerous, you know.
Yeah.
Galveston Bay. Yeah. Just, you really don't want to cross that big bay when you've got some bad weather coming.
You know, unless you got the right boat under you. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe like a 30-footer. Yeah, a 24 is definitely better than a 22. Because you can at least reach across the swells most of the time. That 22-foot boat just falls off in those holes, which is what I've got. On Sabine Lake, it's not that critical. You know, you can... And usually we've got launch ramps we can go to get on the lee side of the lake. You know, sometimes when you fish Galveston or Trinity, I mean, it's just, you got to go across some big water to get to where you want to go.
Yeah, you got to always watch that weather and just plan your day where to meet and put in. You know, we got a lot of places we can put in to get away from that, but. You know, if the fish where you put in and you set up for aren't there, you're going to end up having to turn a corner or cross open water, do something. And I've had some gnarly boat rides over the years. Pretty nasty.
Well, I tell you what, if it's bad enough and I think I can move across the lake, get fish on the other side, sometimes I'll just relaunch the boat. Just pick it up, go on over there. You know, rather than try to fight those big waves and seas, that's just not any fun.
Yeah.
Beats everybody to death, eats all the screws out of the boat. Just safety is a big issue. And you're out there with customers, and, you know, that their lives matter.
Yeah, and they're not accustomed to that. They hadn't spent a lot of time in a boat, and they don't have the sea legs and, you know how to take that rough water, how to cushion themselves, and it beats them up.
Yeah, some of my older folks, they've got like me. They can't take that beating anymore. So I'm mindful of that all the time. And, you know, women and kids and stuff like that, you just got to not scare them to death. You know, when somebody starts screaming that you've already gone too far.
Yeah, Blaine come up to me one time and said, "Were those new people?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Boy, y'all got them. They'll be back." I said, "No, they won't. After that boat ride, they ain't ever coming back."
Yeah. Didn't matter how many fish they caught.
Right. I did what I had to do to put them on fish, and we caught big fish, but I said, "Nah, they probably won't be back." I never heard from them again.
Yeah, unfortunately, that happens.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what.
The weather was good was where we were, and it ended up, but it just turned bad in the afternoon, you know, for that ride back.
Yeah. Yeah. I was out with old Vaughn, and we were fishing up in the north end. We went out of his, where he's got his camper over there.
Mm-hmm.
Out of that music park.
Yeah.
Yeah. We run out of there, and it was pretty that morning. We ran all the way up north and got up there behind Sydney Island, Stutes Island, and we got to whacking the fish, okay? I mean, we had a good time whacking some nice fish. And all of a sudden, that wind comes straight up out of the south.
Oh, boy.
And it got about 22 to 23, maybe more. But right there in that area, it's just like a wind tunnel. And we swore that we was never going to do that again. I mean, talk about bone rattling, teeth rattling, dropping off those waves. And
well,
bam,
it gets like a washing machine, you know, with all the backwash coming off that levee. And it just, boy.
I just couldn't run it. I couldn't figure out a speed.
That's a nasty ride from up north. Oh, God.
Oh.
I had a day like that. Thank God I didn't have a trip. It was me and some buddies, and we were in my shallow running boat that I use for tournaments down south. And I pulled it over there. It's easy to pull. And, hey, buddy, we got up there and waiting, and we caught our fish. And, man, that wind came up, and it was kind of south-southeast, just blowing right down the chute. And that was probably... That was one of the most miserable. It felt like there was a little man up there in the front with buckets, 5-gallon buckets of water, just throwing them on you and just teeth jarring, bone rattling. I didn't think I'd ever get to the music park. And that's where we'd put in. Oh, Lord, that was terrible.
And it's a pretty good piece from anywhere that you want to go from there.
Yeah.
I mean, you cross the lake, you go down south, it doesn't matter. In the lagoon, it's great. But when you better figure out that if wind gets up out of any direction, you're going to get beat up. That's a tough place to fish.
Yeah,
it's a good ramp, you know.
It's a great place to put in. It's all protected. You know, if you've got a lot of wind, you don't have to worry about loading your boat or anything. But, boy, when you come out of that hole, you better be ready.
Oh, man. Yeah, if it's northeast, if it's east, if it's southeast, if it's south, it don't matter.
It doesn't.
The only good wind over there is a west wind.
That's it, southwest or west.
That's tough. But we sure paid our dues that day. We decided we wasn't going to do that no more.
Man, you caught them. At least you caught them.
Yeah, we did.
Would have made it worse if you hadn't caught anything and then having to take a whipping like that.
Well, I've been there, too.
I have, too. We've done. Who hasn't, you know?
So if you go out there very often, you're going to finally meet your Waterloo. It's going to get you. And, I mean, storms come up. The Gulf of Mexico is a weather maker.
Yes.
It can come up on you so fast. I mean, you're out there fishing and having a good time and catching fish, and you're just not paying attention to what's going on. And some of those storms travel at 50 miles an hour coming in off the Gulf.
Oh, they'll come in there booking, man.
And by the time you notice it getting dark to the south, it's on you. And you just, you know, oh my goodness.
Can't outrun it.
No, but only thing you can do is go to the shoreline, run up on the shoreline.
Yeah.
It's too late, you know, and even that, I was out there one time, and we had two guide boats running that day, and three people in each boat, and it come up a storm out of the south, right straight out of the south. And by the time we figured out that thing was coming, we had about a half a mile to go to get to the bank. and we just run straight up on the south shoreline.
Yeah.
And got down in the boat, put the rods down, and boy, you talk about an electrical storm. And blowing at least 50, 60 miles an hour.
Man,
straight line winds. Oh, no. And we're all sitting on the bottom of that boat like a bunch of drowned rats. And I hope I don't ever get into another one of those.
Dodging lightning and all the rain and wind, that's it can get gnarly, man, real quick.
And after about 45 minutes, it was gone. And it calmed right back down.
Yeah.
But, man, you talk about vicious.
Summer's cold.
I looked over to my right, and it was in late May. And I looked over there, and there was this kind of a pretty good-sized bush growing out of the right on the shoreline. Mm. And lightning struck that bush, and it freaked me out. I went,
Lordy.
Lord, please, don't let that hit me.
Man.
Whew.
Let me do this break right quick, Bill. I'll be right back at you, man. Hang on a second.
All right.
You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Mother, do you think they'll drop the bomb? Mother, do you think they'll like the song?
Good morning. Welcome back. It is 419 here in the Bayou City here at the Outdoor Show. Let's go back to Captain Bill Watkins. All right, Bill, we're back.
All right, buddy.
We were fighting bad weather when we went to break.
Yeah, we were. And I'm about done with that, I think. But if you go out there enough, you're finally going to get caught.
Yeah, I mean, it's inevitable. It happens.
It's a whole lot better now that we've got real-time radar on a cell phone.
Sure, it is.
Some people even have it on their GPS systems.
Right.
You know, weather alerts and all that stuff. But you still have to keep your eyes and ears open and try to plan your trip. And you have to actually look at live radar before you'll see that something's coming at you. If there's anything iffy out there, I usually will stop, you know, about an hour into the trip and take a look. You know, at dawn sometimes they blow through and then they go away. And then all of a sudden an hour or two later, here comes another one. So you have to actually stop, get that weather radar up on your phone and look at it. And the ones that are animated are the best. If you can see where it's moving to, you know, where it's coming from, where it's going to. And that's very useful because you can kind of time when it's going to hit you and get off the water ahead of it. We play that game quite often. But I try to leave myself plenty of time. You actually have to get to the shoreline and have time to clean fish before you send your folks on the way. And sometimes we'll run in ahead of it and sit in the truck and let it go through and go back out and fish again. You know, you got to kind of play through that weather.
Yeah, it's good to have a little shelter area, safe harbor to get to.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, every once in a while, we just had to pull the boat out, you know, get in ahead of a storm, sit there on the trailer. I've sat there an hour and a half and then went back out and knocked them out, you know.
Oh, yeah.
If it gets to be where you had to wait for 3 hours, you might as well just quit and go home.
Well.
But sometimes, you know, sometimes you can actually ride it out and then get back out there. But you got to pay attention.
What I hated those days where you pop out, start catching them, then here comes a big squall. You run in, ride that out, pop back out. After about three or four times, you just want to throw your hands up in there and say, that's it. That's all I can do. I'm going home. I've had enough.
That's it.
I'm out of gas.
If you have to run very far, it just, you're out of gas and the boat is too.
Well, when you're catching fish close to where you're putting in, the weather's always good. It's always when you got to make those long runs that the weather's iffy, you know?
That's
the same way it works out most of the time.
Well, it's a strange game we play, but we love it.
Oh yeah,
we like to fish.
It's a way of life. If part of the game, man.
If you're a guide and you don't like meeting people, you're in the wrong business. That's just all there is to it.
I mean, I know some guys that are just a dry personality, no personality in my books, no conversation. Yeah. I mean, you got to be personable with these people, you know, have some kind of etiquette with them. And just, you know, I've seen something just, hey, there's just nothing said other than, hey, get the net, or, boy, that's a nice one, you know, and leave it at that. No conversation.
Yeah. I've had folks in the boat like that. Yeah.
Every once in a while you'll get a group that it's so quiet you can hear a pin drop.
even when they're catching fish, they're quiet. And
yeah,
that worries
those
me.
Kind of people make me nervous. Man, aren't y'all having fun? I mean, this is fun. We're nuking them. Say something.
I've asked them, are we having fun yet?
Yeah.
And they'll usually go, oh, yeah. And then it gets quiet again.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But most of the time, you get people that usually, they're happy when they get there. They're going fishing.
Yeah.
And they're happy. And all you got to do is not mess that up. You know? And a lot of people like to talk about what they do, how they make their income. And boy, those
I'll just come out and ask them. I said, well, what do you guys do for a living?
Oh, yeah. And you get that conversation started and you can learn lots of stuff.
Sure.
I mean, oh, man. Well, I'm just kind of like a sponge out there. I soak up all that stuff because I'm learning all the time. You know, even at my advanced age, I'm still wanting to learn what other people know about finance and banking and oil drilling and every kind of a thing. You know, insurance sales. I'm interested in all of it.
Well, it reminds me of back in the 80s. Remember when the stock market crashed that day? I had a group of guys on my boat, and they were almost crying. And back then, I had remember them old carry phones, you know, with a handle on them, or the bag phone days and all that? You'd throw up on the dash.
Oh, yeah, bag phone.
You had them for, you know, emergencies, really, or basically. But you had one, and customers would want to borrow it, and I think back then it was what, like 37 cents a minute or something? And man, these guys, you know, these guys were calling their brokers, and I mean, this went on all day. I mean, they were so miserable in that crash, and you wouldn't believe the phone bill I got at the end of that month.
Oh,
just from that one day, they were on my phone all day long. Well, sell this, do that. I mean, just it was panic city. We were catching fish too. God, what a great day of fishing that was. The day the stock market crashed.
I know how they felt. Shoot. Back in about 2001 or whenever that, boy, I mean, I was losing money like a wild man. I was losing some money and I was miserable. It was hard to
be
up.
At least you had some to lose. Most fishing guides don't have any to lose. They've been a guide all their life.
Well, when you first retire and you're making more money than you were when you were working, and then 2 years later, you're not making anything, you're losing money. Mm-hmm. And it's like, ah, what can I do now?
That's going on right now.
Oh, yeah, it is going on right now. Shoot. Yeah. And the bigger your portfolio, the bigger the loss.
Oh, boy.
And consequently, the bigger the gain. You know, it goes back up. Mine fluctuates $5,000-$6,000 on every month statement.
Yeah, I got friends that go, well, I only lost $28,000 today. Well, $35,000 yesterday. I'm going, man, y'all must have some money in there. Jeez.
I try not to let that worry me too much. I don't look at it every day, because back when it was falling so bad when I first retired, I got sick of it. And I said, I guess I'm going to go broke. But I finally, I kept doing this and doing that and getting better financial advice.
Should have bought gold.
It worked out.
Gold's going through the roof right now.
Yeah, and I can't afford any of it.
No, who can?
I'd love to have some gold if they'd give me some.
Yeah. Alan Nash.
Well, brother, I am pulling into the gas station, right?
Are you?
In the gas station right now.
Well, that's cool.
Gotta.
Speaking of gold, you're fixing to put some liquid gold in your boat.
Oh, yeah. Let's see what it is this morning.
Yeah, what's your gas price there?
Well, let's see. There's a station right there that says $289.9, and one across the road says $209.9.
Their signs are wrong.
But that's cash price. No, $289.
Oh, and I thought you said $209, that second one.
No. Oh, I probably did. It's $309. Sorry,
$309.9. That sounds more like it.
I did say that. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I don't want anybody to get in a panic there.
I thought it was my ears.
Anyway. No, it wasn't your ears. Hey, that's just that's some kind of cognitive problem I had right then.
Well, with water temperatures staying well above 70 now and holding, we'll get some spawning activity. You know, some male staging and female staging and all that. So that could group up some fish, you know.
Oh, yeah. And you know, we got all this fresh water over here right now, and that's going to bunch them up. So everybody ought to be having a happy spawn here in a little while.
You know, I just wonder these times of year. You know, a lot of time I've noticed in Trinity over the years, all the years I've fished it, that those fish will hold their eggs when the salinity is just too low, you know, for buoyancy after they're fertilized, you know, for the tides to carry them up into the marsh and all that. And
that's true.
I'm sure it probably works the same over your way, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll hold those eggs until they get to a place where that salinity level, and how do they know that? Do they have a salinity tester in their pocket? I mean,
no, but they just
know.
They know it. It's but they can adapt, you know. But as far as spawning rates, you know, I just wonder how big freshwater inflows affect that. You know, whether if they do.
Our fish over here don't. They don't really spawn until May.
Yeah.
There might be some isolated stuff around, and maybe in the Gulf they may spawn a little sooner. But I can tell the difference between the fish that are in the lake and the fish that come in out of the Gulf. Those Gulf fish will usually, of course, the Gulf warms up sooner, and the salinity level's different out there, and they come up in those passes and jetties and stuff, and they're looking for that perfect salinity level, that mix. And I don't think the fish around here ever have a problem with the water being too salty to hatch their eggs. I think we've got such big rivers around here and, you know, so much runoff. I think that they can probably always find what they need. because year after year we seem to see, you know, a good healthy hatch of smaller fish.
Right.
Especially when they get up to about 12 inches, then you can really see how many you've got. And you run into a swarm of them, and it's just like, wow, where'd all these fish come from? Well, they hatch somewhere.
Yeah, 12-inch fish is 1 year old. He's a 1 year old.
Yeah.
And a 2 year old, 16 right. inches. 3 year olds are 19 inches. And so on and so on.
They I guess they if, live, live I guess up to if 10 they years. Hatched, if they hatched sometime in August, you know, because it'll stretch out over a 3 month period sometimes. It does here. And usually starts about 1st of May or maybe middle May and runs on into August. And some of the fish will still have eggs. They'll be pooched out with them. And,
And I know they spawn, they may have 9 batches a year, you know, where they dump eggs, you know, from April to September.
Yeah. And a lot of times, you know, a trout that spawned or hatched late in the season like that, he might be a 9-incher the next year.
Oh, yeah.
You know. I caught a bunch of them last year like that. We got into a spot that they were just swarms of 8-9-inch trout, and they were knocking the fire out of those big jig heads. I mean, I'm like, look, we just need to quit here. There's not a decent-sized fish in this whole thing.
I mean, they're cannibals. They get after it.
Oh, yeah, they're eating machines. Once you get into those, you might as well pull up and leave.
There's no sense in trying to weed through that.
No. I'm even good enough to beat that. Anyway, Putney,
I'll let
you
gas up your old rig, man, and pull that pocketbook out and get after it. But if somebody wants to call you, Bill, about coming over and fishing Sabine with you this year, how do they get a hold of you, man?
409-673-9211.
rfishsabinelake.com, huh?
Yes, sir.
That'll work. Well, Bill, you have a good day.
Thank you,
hope
buddy.
You find some fish, and, hey, get after it. Knock them out.
All right, man.
All right, buddy. See ya. All right, that's Bill Watkins over at Sabine Lake. And right around the corner is the 35th Annual CCA Texas Star Tournament. It's all brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers, Progressive, and Academy Sports and Outdoors. And sign up now and take advantage of all the early bird deals they have going and drawings and all that. And if you sign up, you can take advantage of over $1 million in prizes and scholarships to be handed out this year for inshore and offshore divisions. With all the tagged reds released in Texas coastal waters, you can fish for those and other species like gafftop, drum, and sheephead, and offshore fish for great prizes when you catch red snapper, ling, dolphin, and kingfish. Go to startournament.org for rules, entry, and prize information. And the CCA Star Tournament's brought to you by great sponsors like Mercury Marine, Lone Star, Hoff Power Polaris, Mouty Boats, Texas Fish and Game Magazine, ABC 13, Cryptek, and Coastline Trailers, just to name a few. Go to startournament.org or you can call 713-626-4222 and get signed up today. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, 440 here in the Bayou City. Let's go up to Conroe, check in with the fish dude, Richard Tosh. Good morning, Richard.
What's up, bud?
What's up?
You know I'm good, Mickey. How about yourself?
Can't complain, man. Living the dream.
I heard that, brother. I heard that the dang wind's out a little bit out of the east this morning.
They said it was going to have more east in it today.
Yeah, it ain't that bad, but it's that little bit out of the east. So
they missed that forecast yesterday. It was calm.
Oh, it was slick as it could get. I guarantee you, there is no doubt about it. I kept thinking, man, that wind's going to pick up a little bit, but it never did. It never did get going. It just kind of stayed where it was. That fog hung in there for just a little while. It didn't stay too long, so it wasn't
too
bad.
Did you have a little patchy fog yesterday morning?
Yes, sir. Yeah. It wasn't patchy. It was thick.
Oh, it was. No patch to it, huh?
There wasn't no patch to it. It was thick out on the lake till, right after the sun got up, probably about an hour after the sun got up, it started lifting a little bit and got to where you could actually see some. So it wasn't too bad at all. But it's like yesterday, we crappie fished all morning and didn't have a whole lot, but we had some. That's the main thing. And them, they're out there. That's the thing. Them knuckleheads are out there, and you got the different sizes. So, like I was saying the other day, it's that different size stuff makes a heck of a difference. Makes me feel more positive about the future fish anyway. All the, everybody trying to pick them off while they're spawning and stuff like that. And they won't leave them. They won't leave them big females alone, let them spawn. So hopefully I can get Parks and Wildlife to put a closed season on them. Like, I've been talking to them for over a year now about it, trying to close the season between January 1 and April 1. They'll do that for 4 or 5 years. These crappie on Conroe will come back, and they'll make
a big rebound. Man, that used to be a really great crappie lake, but it's
I'll tell you what,
not
it's,
the same.
No, it's not the same as it used to be, and the bad part is everybody thinks, crappie, especially the older guys, I'm going to take my grandkids crappie fishing or whatever, because crappie are prevalent. You can catch them, and just keep catching them. Well, it ain't like that no more, not over here anyway, but, there's other lakes that's still like that, but not on Conroe, and that's what gets me. They get out here and think, we're just going to wear them out. We're going to catch thousands of them. No. Wrong lake, wrong time period. In the 70s, 80s, and 90s, absolutely. You could wear them out like that, but not no more. It's just not right. It's, like I say, it's just too big. It's not a big lake compared to other lakes, 28,000 acres is just a pond. It's an overgrown pond. It's all it amounts to. Being in such close proximity to Houston and stuff, and you got thousands of people that live right here on the water, and half of those, they're going to fish, and then the other half are coming out of Houston and all that good stuff. So they're going to beat them all up no matter what. But them dang hybrids, the other day I finally found me a little group that acted like they wanted to bite, and so we're going to try them again this afternoon for sure. If I can, hopefully that rain hangs out of here and doesn't come in too quick this morning.
Yeah, the bigger chance is tonight. We got slight chance of it today, but tonight's the big event, it looks like. Why do these things always come in at nighttime?
That's a good thing. I like it. Mm-hmm. That's what I tell everybody, as long as it
Not me, because my dog gets me up. I can't sleep.
There you go. I'll tell you what, it's one of those things where if it comes in, as long as it's raining during the night, I'm good.
Right.
That way I can still fish. Everything with me is all related to fishing. If I can't fish, it's like, good night, what's wrong? Something's going on here. I got to get out. I can't stand hanging around the house and doing nothing in the rain, because you can't hardly do nothing around the house because it's raining. And can't get out and go fishing because it's raining. It's like, goodness. So no matter what, as long as it rains at night, I'm happy. It don't hurt my feelings at all.
Right.
So. But we're also going to try them catfish today. I can't help it on them. Them knuckleheads, they're doing way too good to pass them up.
Yeah, catfishing's good then, huh?
Oh, my goodness. They're doing really good right now. A lot of them are coming off the bulkheads, even though the other day, Thursday, I tried some bulkhead stuff, and we caught probably 6 or 8 of them on bulkheads. So there's still some up there. And then yesterday, right off the bat, I got to looking at the bulkheads. There's shad flipping around everywhere. So I know there's still some up there. Even though, you know, this year's just been a kind of a strange year on the bulkhead stuff. They're there, and then they're gone, and then they're there, and then they're gone, and it's like, what the heck? You know, you can't ever – it was never –
Well, we kept getting all those fronts, you know. They'd probably pull in when it warms up, and then a front would hit. They'd move out back and forth, yeah.
Yeah. It was never consistent. So it's like you really – you know, you can't plan on doing a trip where you're bulkhead fishing because they may or may not be there. I mean, that was the weird part because – one day you'd think, well, they're going to be all over the place, and you look around for the birds, and you couldn't find them one. It's like, right. that's not right. Because I guarantee if them shad are up there, them birds are going to be there. There is no doubt about it. Those egrets are going to be sitting there. The blue herons will be sitting there. Everything's going to gang up and try to get them. Just because that's...
Everybody's got to eat.
They got to eat, and them birds will sit there and just pluck them out of the water because they're everywhere. I mean, when those shad get up very thick like that, you can reach down and scoop up 20 of them in just a handful.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's how thick they get up there. And it's, you know, it's just, to me, it's fun just watching those catfish kind of go along those bulkheads and chew on them. You know, you can see them out there just going along those dang old walls, just working it over. So it's, as one of them, it's just a hoot doing it. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, you got to have a little bit of experience doing the bulkhead stuff.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't want to be hung up on the bulkhead all the time. You don't want to be hung up in people's yards, stuff like that. So, it's, you know, it just takes a little bit, not a lot. And you could actually probably do it with a cane pole.
I mean,
as long as you had a long cane pole, you could stick that rascal out there and do pretty good with it, because all you're trying to do is get next to the wall, get
right
next to the posts that are in there and stuff like that, because those posts are ambush points for them, and that's really all you're looking for is put a shad behind a post, and they're good to go. They'll chew on them no matter what.
Like fishing pier pilings.
All right, sir,
Richard.
Same thing.
Well, I hope you have a good day. Hope the weather cooperates and you catch them up. If somebody wants to call you about coming up, give them some info.
All right, Mickey, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, buddy. Richard, have a good day. Good luck to you, man. Catch him up.
Yes, sir. Y'all have
fun. All right, thank you. See you.
All right,
we just lost Charlie. We're trying to get him back, is what I've been told by my producer. But anyway, yeah, that's I think the weather's going to hold for everybody today. Looks like, you know, tonight's the biggest chance of getting rain. Let's go to Charlie now. We got him back. All right, Charlie P., what's up?
Nothing. Not much. Nope.
Fair to Midland?
Yep.
Well. Man, your phone signal's terrible this morning. It's bad. I don't know what, see what you can do with him. I don't know about that. That's not looking too good. I got a text I can respond to. Somebody texted asking about, you know, earlier I was talking to Bill about, you know, these fish spawning in age classes of fish and the links and everything. It's pretty much cut and dried. You can look it up at the Hart Research Institute. They've, down in Corpus Christi, they're real sharp on this. They're really on spot on. It's just showing mainly the age classes. You can look it up on trout. Like a one-year-old fish is 12 inches, a two-year-old 16 inches, a three-year-old's 19 inches. Now, this is on average, you know, for the whole coast. A 4-year-old's 21, a 5-year-old's 23 inches, a 6-year-old 25 inches, 7 is 26 inches. You can see how that growth rate, the older they get, the slower they grow per year. And all the way up to 10-year-old fish is 29 inches or better. And I think the oldest recorded male fish they've ever had was a 25-incher, and they figured it was 12 years old. And with these studies and these growth rates, you know, they cut the otoliths out of these fishes' heads and go by the size of the... It's kind of like, you know, cutting a stump and counting the rings on a tree is what it's real similar to give you an age of what that tree is. I guess we never to get Charlie back, but... Yeah, he's. I'm sure they may have a cell tower down in his area down there. It's happening a lot here lately, to everybody, including myself at times. But you know, like a 1-year-old fish, a 12-incher, you know, they do. You know, they spawn several times a year in batches. You know, they just don't spawn once and be done with it. And that's what's so great about the reproduction, you know, of speckled trout like they are. You know, a 12-incher in one batch, he'll you know, spray about 300,000 eggs, and in eggs per season, he's got the potential of, or she does, has the potential of putting out almost 3 million eggs. And like a, just say a 10-year-old fish, something like 29 inches, they'll spew about 4.5 million eggs per batch, and that's about 41 million a year if they do 9 batches, you know. It just depends on the, you know, the environment, how the weather is, salinity rates, and, you know, water temps and all that. And it's real interesting, you know, that that Hart Research Institute, anything you want to know about trout, I mean, you can go on their website and check it out. They're up to snuff, so to speak, on that. But it's amazing how the growth rate, you know, these fish grow pretty fast when they're immature, and as they get older, when they get up to around 5 or 6 years old, it slows down to about 1 inch per year. And the male growth rate's even way slower than that. Like a 10-year-old male, that's 21 inches versus a 29 inch for a female. And those males, they slow down to 1 inch per year after about 2 years old. Females will go 2 or 3 inches per year. And it's pretty interesting. Anything you want to know about fish and habitat and reproduction and salinity and temperature, you know, as far as, you know, extreme temperatures, you know, trout can tolerate water gradually, you know, from 39 to 91 degrees Fahrenheit, you know, if they're acclimated gradually to it in these extreme ranges. But that's what hurts them so bad when we get these big time fronts and you get those extreme drops in water temperatures and they get below 39. That's when you get a high mortality rate. So, but that's what we're up against. Mother Nature controls all of it. It's out of our hands to a lot, you know, more than you think. So anyway, all right, let's go ahead and take our top of the hour break since we couldn't get Charlie, and we'll come back right after these messages.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.